The cell phone is the new transistor radio. Just like your grandfather may have carried his radio wherever he went, you carry your phone with you all the time. Which means you can listen to American Family Radio anytime you want with the AFR app. You'll find live talk programming, 24-hour Christian music, and access to podcasts of all your favorite AFR shows. Just go to the App Store and download the AFR app for free. Your grandfather would be proud.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Wednesday, April the 30th, 2025, in case you were wondering. And we thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio is
what's his name? Well, it depends what you're going to say next.
Well, I think three people would
Are three people.
Joining me in studio are, I was talking to myself ahead.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but listen. You want to be the voice in my head? Go ahead. Be the voice in my head.
Listen, I say this to my wife all the time when she's talking to herself out loud. I say, you know, most people, they talk to themselves inside their head. It's called thinking.
And then you find out where you're going to be sleeping that night, right?
We're getting to the age where
careful.
When you talk to yourself when you're younger, I guess you do it more loudly. Yeah. But my wife now, it's not loud enough for me to understand what she's saying.
It's a murmur.
Yes, it's a murmur. Yeah. And so I'm always going, what? I'm just talking to myself.
I do that too. All right, Ed Battagliano, our resident psychologist
here. Nice to know you.
Yeah. All right, Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Morning. A lot of problems here, but talking to myself is not one of them.
Well, as you grow older, it does happen.
You talk to yourself, Wesley, because nobody else is listening. Mm-hmm. You find out.
Fred Jackson, do you talk to yourself, Fred?
All the time. All the time. In fact, I was just thinking, I was going to mention when you were talking, we ought to start a program on American Family Radio, Ed and Wife.
Ed and Wife. Yeah, that would be a great show. He
has got so many stories.
Right. No more than 30 minutes, and it has to be on the weekends, because that would be just enough.
Diane, give them an example of how you talk to yourself. Demonstrate that to everybody.
The reason I talk like this about my wife is I know she is not listening.
Because she gets enough of you at home.
That's right. And so I'm bold as can be, but I know she's not listening.
It might get back to her. But anyway, all right, thank you for joining us on the program. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us at the bottom of the hour. And then Kathy Branzel, president of the National Day of Prayer, which is tomorrow across our country. Kathy will be with us in just a few minutes also to talk about that. Very important day on our calendar, especially for Christians, the National Day of Prayer. All right, Fred, what's your first story?
I want to start the program today with a hug.
Well, Fred, that's awful nice.
That's lovely.
With a hug.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
The Canadian initiates hugs.
That's right. No, it's a hug on a tarmac in Michigan.
Oh, that hug.
The hug
heard around the world. In fact, the Associated Press story, now this has to do with President Donald Trump. To celebrate his 100 days in office, he went to Michigan yesterday. Air Force One lands. He descends the stairs of Air Force One, and waiting for him is a big fan, tongue-in-cheek. The Democrat governor of Michigan, and her name is Gretchen Whitmer. Now, if you follow the news from day to day, you know Gretchen Whitmer is not a big fan of Donald Trump. But she was waiting at the bottom of the stairs. And President Trump, being the nice guy, reaching out guy that he is, reached for her. And if you go to AFN.net, you will see the picture of said hug. And it's an awkward moment. I'm not sure. Gretchen Whitmer, we have the back of President Trump, And we have the hand, we can see the hand of Gretchen Whitmer. I'm not sure if she's trying to shove him away or is it a hand that says, I don't like this, but I have to do it because the cameras are rolling. They are political enemies, but she was at the airport to greet the president yesterday because he was coming to town with some pretty good news for her state. Number one, he was announcing that he is modifying those tariffs that he has announced in the area of parts coming in from other countries to the automakers. The automakers are very important to the Michigan economy.
Right.
So she was there, glad to get that news that those tariffs are going to be modified to allow these parts of cars coming in from other countries. And also he announced that a National Air Force Base or National Guard Air Force Base is getting some brand new fighter jets there in Michigan. So she was happy for all
of them. We're going to war with Canada now? What's the deal? Michigan? We got fighter planes in Michigan. Get ready to take on Alberta Michigan, and Ontario.
No, I like Alberta.
We're going to make them the 51st state, by golly.
Hey, let me add here. I'm watching the video here. The video footage of what Fred just described, she handled herself exceptionally well. It was very cordial. She was very receptive, so just wanted to add the video footage.
Yeah, it's customary for...
But in 2024, the other team usually doesn't show up at this point for a lot of this kind of stuff.
That's true.
That's the reason Obama's wife...
Michelle
Obama didn't show up.
That's true. I mean, you know, there's Republicans and Democrats, there's a lot of distrust and dislike, and so sometimes governors of various states don't show up for events of the opposing party's president. That happens. I know that President Biden then went to Florida after the hurricane, and Governor DeSantis met him at the airport.
And then President Biden smelled his hair, didn't he? Or is that just, that's just
different
women?
One. Different
he
one.
He was talking to himself.
Yeah.
Then I think Governor Newsom met
Trump,
President Trump, back during the first administration.
It was the wildfires.
The wildfires.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, he met him at the airport, and they. So it you know that. But sometimes it doesn't happen. But anyway, so good for her for showing up. Gretchen Whitmer, she's the sitting governor of two-term governor of Michigan. But the hug, I don't know. Do you in the era of Me Too, do you hug a female governor?
There's 800 people watching, so I don't. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, in the hashtag Me Too era, I guess we're still in that. Yeah, non-consensual does enter into office decorum, but I think for politics, I think a hug is not considered.
Would he hug Tim Walz?
Huh? Would I?
Would Trump hug the governor of Minnesota?
Oh, I don't know. Guys can be. You can do a bro hug.
I think you can hug a woman, and you can't hug a man.
Well, speaking about
bro hugs
are okay.
Yeah.
No, all right.
I think, yeah, anyway. Trump just came back from the Pope's funeral.
Yeah.
And, you know, the president of France was there. They always hug. They hug trees. Yeah. They hug everybody.
To my Macron?
Oh, yeah.
They hugged?
Oh.
I heard it was cold.
There's huggy-huggy all the time with the Europeans, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes kiss on the cheek.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons we formed this country was to get away from that. That's a part of Europe we don't want any part of.
It's in the Bible.
I don't care. I don't accept that in my theology. I don't think everything in
greet
the Bible.
Greet one another with a holy kiss.
That was for them back then, Ed.
Hey, you brought up Walz. Have y'all seen the headline here at Fox News? Walz says, Harris chose me in part because, quote, I could talk code to white guys watching football and fixing trucks, end quote.
What?
Then Walz said this at his rallies that he's going around called Listening to Her.
Why are you changing the subject away from
he mentioned Walz.
Kissing.
Oh, now. Yeah, I was trying to save y'all on that one. I did the best I could to segue.
You're talking about the I mean, I brought up Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, which Kamala Harris chose as her running mate,
and he just confirmed why he was chosen because he said
she chose me for what reason? Now
he's a man's man, apparently.
Quote, these are his words from yesterday. Quote, I could code talk to white guys watching football and fixing trucks, end quote.
Well, I think there are men of color who fix trucks and watch football, too.
Right. It's kind of a racist thing.
But I guess she was trying to draw in the white football car fixing crowd.
Yes. Huh? I guess so.
To vote
I didn't know that was a voting block.
That's part of MAGA, they say. You know. So she wanted to cut into that.
Well, so Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania, he didn't get picked because he couldn't reach out.
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like football. Yeah. You have to ask him.
Yeah.
I guess.
I will. I just wanted to add. You said Walz. I see headline, and I just add comments.
Anyway, this all started, ladies and gentlemen, with a hug that Fred wanted to bring up. That President, in all seriousness, President Trump was in Michigan. Michigan was one of those states, those swing states, that put him over the top. So I think he wanted to go show some love and appreciation for the Michigan voters and announce some good news for their economy. That's the basic reason he went there. And Gretchen Whitmer, to her credit, wanted to be a part of celebrating something good, and that is things that help the economy of her state. And so
that's the right thing to do. Yeah. I also think, I know that there was, I don't know if we talked about it this week, did you guys talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, some of them not going?
We talked about some of that.
A little bit.
Not going to the White House. I disagree with that, too. I think if you win a championship in a sport and your team is invited to the White House, it doesn't matter who's in the White House, you go out of respect for the office. And I say that as a guy whose hockey team in 2011 got invited to the White House, and our goalie refused to go because the president was
Obama.
And I disagreed with that. You go if you're invited.
Yeah.
So
I think Whitmer was trying to recover from another embarrassing moment. Remember, she went to the White House a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
And they started taking pictures, photographers there, and she held up a piece of paper.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She, you know, I don't want to be seen with Trump.
Yeah.
She needs, if she doesn't understand going to the White House, you might be seen. Then she needs, I don't know what she needs. She needs some edumacation of some kind. All right, so tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer. It's annual. And the president of the National Day of Prayer is Kathy Branzell. And Kathy joins us now. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning from Washington, D.C. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you for being on with us. Where's home for you?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. Well, listen, thanks for being on. How long have you been president of the National Day of Prayer?
Oh, I have had this incredible privilege for 6 years. I've been a part of National Day of Prayer for a long time, just as a prayer and a donor. And then a board member, but I have been president for 6 years, but this will actually be my 26th national observance. So I am very grateful.
Yeah. Now, Shirley Dobson, the wife of James Dobson, she was the chairman for a long time, right?
25 wonderful years.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Kathy, congratulations. And we want to know what's going to be happening. First of all, tell us what you want to tell us about the National Day of Prayer, and then we'll get into what you're going to be doing there in D.C.
Oh, I would love. A lot of people don't know that it's a law, and so we are so grateful that in 1952, the Reverend Billy Graham stood on the steps of the Capitol and challenged Congress and the president to honor God in prayer in our law. And they took it so seriously that within a few weeks, we had a unanimous vote, and President Truman signed it into law. So this is our 74th observance. And then President Ronald Reagan amended that law for us in 1988, so it would be the same day every year. So by law, every year on the first Thursday of May, the president must proclaim a day of prayer for our nation. And our task force, the National Day of Prayer Task Force, was tasked with the Judeo-Christian expression of prayer to bring together, to mobilize Unified Public Prayer for America. And so you were asking about what's going to happen tomorrow, and our 19,000 prayer mobilizers, we call them missionaries across the nation throughout America, will be hosting tens of thousands of prayer gatherings all across all 50 states and in the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico. And then we have the privilege of hosting the Congressional Expression here in Washington, and then our broadcast tomorrow night, so we could talk about all of that.
Well, where is the, what's the website where people can go and see where the National Day of Prayer event is for their community?
Yes, so it's nationaldayofprayer.org, nationaldayofprayer.org, and they just click on the gathering finder and click on their state, and it will show them all the gatherings in their state so they can find which ones they want to attend. We often have people that will go to several different gatherings throughout the day, so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I know we're having one here in Tupelo, Mississippi, where we are at our city hall at noon.
Thank you.
At noon tomorrow, and that's happening all across America. Ed, did you have a question?
Yeah. Kathy, of course, thank you for being on with us. What's the theme? You have a theme every every year. Tell us about the theme and why this was selected.
Thank you. Yes, our theme this year is Pour Out to the God of Hope and Be Filled. And our theme verse for this year is Romans 15:13 that says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that came after a long period of time in prayer and fasting. And I was just hearing Christians talk about being hopeless. You know, things are so hopeless, and we're like, no, God is still on his throne. And the Lord just really put it on my heart to remind people where our hope comes from. And he is our hope. Scripture tells us to be ready with the reasons for our hope when we're asked, and to share them with gentleness and respect. And I'll tell you, friends, we all have the same reason for hope. We just celebrated our greatest reason. You know, Christ is risen, and therefore we are redeemed as his followers, and he currently reigns in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and our greatest hope is he's going to return. And so that is our artwork. If you've seen our artwork, is this beautiful prophetic painting from a good friend in the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Don't let that get lost on you. It's not just geographically, but spiritually. And so that beautiful piece of artwork is a picture of Christ's return, the greatest reason for our hope. But pour out to the God of hope and be filled.
Kathy, I sent my artwork in, and I never... I never heard back from y'all, and I don't know.
Maybe if, next year, friend.
Okay, well.
Send it in again.
That was.
I just want to say, Kathy, on behalf of us all, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for making the decision.
I just wanted to know, because I tell my wife, please check the mailbox every day to see if we heard back.
You hadn't heard that. You hadn't heard that on an interview, have you?
So anyway.
Kathy, just one last question. And by the way,
I want her to pray for our country.
Yes. Kathy Branzell is our guest, president of the National Day of Prayer. That is tomorrow, folks. Maybe you're just hearing about it right now. It doesn't matter. If you go to nationaldayofprayer.org, you can find out where the prayer meeting is in your area. Please take an effort, make an effort to go and join that. But Kathy, go ahead and pray. You said that you have been a prayer for a long time, even before you've had this position. You've been involved with the National Day of Prayer for many years. You've been the president, I think you said, for the last six. But please pray for our nation. And I do think you guys are correct that a lot of people have lost hope for our nation because of the amount of darkness that everywhere that they turn. Please, I mean, if you have any last words of encouragement, but then we do want you to pray for our nation before we let you go.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I would ask that as you go out and you pray at the local gatherings near you, that when you get home at night, we're going to have our international broadcast at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And so you can watch that on our website. There is a link that will go live right at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And it's also on many of your favorite television Christian networks. And we are so grateful for all of our partners that carry that broadcast. But it is a chance to connect with over 2 billion. We know for a fact, just in television last year, that 2.1 billion people tuned in.
Wow.
To pray.
That's extraordinary.
For us last year and with us. And my co-host, Tim Tebow, who is an absolutely amazing man of God, will be joining us and will be sharing on that broadcast. And so along with many of your favorite pastors and then some members of Casting Crown will be leading worship. And so tune in and watch that either with us tomorrow night in Unity at 8 p.m. Eastern time, or at any time afterwards. We'll have that on our website over the next few months as well for people to watch. But let me do what I love to do most. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for being our God of hope. And we just pray right now, Lord, we know that when we pray that the answer's not far away. We know that even as our words are hanging in the air, we have already moved the heart and hands of God. And so, Lord, we thank you that you call us to prayer, that you say, come to me, all who are weary, that you tell us to pour out our confession, to pour out our praise, to pour out our thanks to you, Lord, and to pour out intercession. Your word says, my God shall supply all your needs. And so, Lord, thank you for being our everlasting Father. And so now, Lord, we pour out to you. Even now, we're not going to wait till tomorrow, Lord. We pray and pour out to the God of hope. And we do thank you that you fill us with all joy and peace, not just a little, not a sliver. Satan's been trying to convince us since the beginning of time that you're holding out on us, but you are holding us. And so I pray for everyone listening that they will be filled with all joy and peace and believing. Lord, we profess our belief and our love in you. And we will walk in joyful, confident expectation. We will walk in our believing and abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that for everyone who is praying with us today, every listener, Lord, in all of their hurts, in all of their needs, in all of their love for you, may it be poured out as you fill them. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Kathy. We wish you the best. We'll pray for you all tomorrow in D.C., and thank you for being on with us.
Thank you for the invitation. God bless you both. Take care.
All right, it's Bye. Kathy Branzell, President of the National Day of Prayer. We're going to take a short time out right here. We'll be back with more news of the day, including a visit with our own Abraham Hamilton III coming up. Stay with us.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Ed Vitagliano, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim with Ed, Westy, and Fred. And we thank you for listening. Abraham Hamilton III was supposed to join us, and he may yet, but he joins us on what we call the Comrex, which is a wonderful device that we use to do interviews with a lot of folks and makes them sound like they're right here in the studio with us. And right when we were getting ready to go on the air, Abe's internet went out, so...
And the Comrex is internet dependent.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
So we're going to wait and see if that happens. If not, we'll have Abe on, you know, tomorrow or another time. So, Fred, what's your next story?
We're going to talk about the bees.
Not the birds and the bees.
No, no.
Just the bees.
It's a family show.
Okay. Okay. Just want to make clear.
Yes. We're going to talk about the bees because this is the time of the year. If you have a garden, like I have a blueberry bush at home, and you'll notice a lot of bees around because they go from blossom to blossom. And if you've taken some basic botany or entomology, you know that bees are very important for producing fruit and vegetables because the pollination effect.
Right.
Well, Tim, you brought to our attention a story this morning that I had not heard. Apparently, there is a parasite. Texas is very fundamental in the production of what they call pollination, you know, bees that are used, and there's these bees sent across the country to produce vegetable crops, et cetera, et cetera. Well, apparently in Texas, a parasite has arrived from somewhere that eats the larvae of bees. And so there is a huge shortage among the honeybee people, and some of these have huge numbers of colonies, and they're losing a large portion of these colonies. So without bees, you don't get that kind of pollination, and that could have a tremendous impact on vegetable production for America this year.
Yeah, and what's called the commercial operators, in other words, there are people whose job is to keep bee colonies alive.
Yeah.
And they'll even take those bees to a particular area if there's a shortage, and then they set up the hive, and then the bees pollinate in that area. But commercial operators, I'm looking at an NBC News story, reported an average loss of 62% of their bee colonies from June to February nationwide. That is staggering.
Yeah.
And obviously it has an effect, and they're talking about a possible effect at the grocery store, because in Texas, for example, very important in terms of almonds, fruits, vegetables, other kinds of plant-based food sources. I know that here in the state of Mississippi, I think some of our listeners have heard us mention the Natchez Trace Parkway that kind of cuts through the state. And on the sides, they usually, of this parkway, very lovely, they'll mow and keep the grass cut during the course of the summer. But they wait before starting mowing until the kind of the bee season for the spring is over. So you'll see on the sides of the roads a lot of wildflowers and clover and things like that. And I know that they wait so that the bees will have something to pollinate. It's very important to our economy.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds, if you don't know, it sounds like...
It took about 2 minutes to go, y'all are serious.
No, yeah, I know. It sounds like, oh, the we don't have enough bees. Huh, let's move on to the next story. Well, okay, yeah. It does sound like it. What kind of effect could it really have? Well, the way God made things.
Right.
Okay. The bees are a necessity.
Yes.
To the.
They're called pollinators. They pollinate.
But yes, for lack of a better word, the food ecosystem.
Well, this article says that honeybees, I'm quoting here, honeybees are the backbone of the food ecosystem that you're talking about, pollinating 75% of the world's natural supplies.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
Yes, yeah, it's a big deal. It's worth watching this story and see how serious it gets, because what the farmers are saying there, would you call them beekeepers? And the people who the food industry, who monitor that, are saying that we could see, Wesley, spikes in prices because of
the loss.
The loss of the bees.
Yeah, I got to think, though, that they're either in the process of or should have a parasite spray for this. I mean, they spray crops
to kill the parasites, you mean?
Kill the parasites. So
I don't know. Ed, do you know anything about that?
I don't. I do know that sprays can be dangerous to the bees themselves.
Yes.
So I think they usually go for some sort of more natural avenue of attack. But I just read. I just found out about this today.
Yeah.
When you, I think you sent it around.
We put this story on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Put this story on our Today's Issues Facebook page. Go ahead, Fred.
The Yahoo News coverage of this quotes a Dr. Tracy Ellis, who's an entomologist. This is kind of interesting. She says you can help wherever you live in the country. If you will plant some flowering trees, shrubs, and native plants, this can help the situation, because the problem hasn't apparently expanded right across the country. So you can have plants that attract honeybees. And it not only perhaps helps the situation on a more global sense, but also if there's a shortage of vegetables this fall, folks, prices are going to go up.
Right.
So if you're growing more of your own, tomatoes, whatever the case may be, that may help you down the line.
Are these now, what is killing these bees again?
It's a parasite.
Yeah.
Okay, where are they coming from? That's what the next thing I want to know.
The story does not say.
Are they coming here like in a legal way?
Illegal mites.
I just want to
coming across that border, Joe Biden. No, I have no idea.
Probably sent from China to Mexico, across the southern border, and here they are.
So now this is what Wesley feared.
I know.
He would take a serious story and go into left field.
Don't leave two Wildmans and a Vitagliano alone if you don't want sarcasm in about 2 minutes.
Of a story that already has plenty of
room. That is a serious story. Okay, it is a serious story. All right, well, we'll pay attention to that and watch that and see what happens there. But, yeah, it's fascinating to read about what bees do and how critical they are to nature.
Let me just say this last thing, and this is the truth. Growing up, I used to stomp bees if I saw them. You know, clover or whatever, you stomp them.
Sad.
Okay, yeah. My wife, after we got married, she said, no, she won't let me. She said, you don't kill bees, they're important. Because I grew up city boy. She grew up in the country. She understood a little bit more about. Now, I say that just in case she's listening. Yeah. Making up for earlier. Sorry.
But I think it's okay if you run into some killer bees.
That's funny.
Oh,
Then it's okay to take them out.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Abraham Hamilton III, host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time on AFR, and a constitutional lawyer. Abe joins us now. The internet has been fixed, I think. Abraham, Abe, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning.
So, the internet, what did they go out for 5 minutes or so?
I don't know what happened. I was on and then I was off and then I'm back on again.
It's kind of like life, really. If you think about it, Abe. You're on, you're off, you're on again.
That's right.
You know,
and Abe is like all of us in this studio.
Yeah.
There's lots of things we do understand.
Yeah.
But when you get too technical.
Right.
Oh, I'm like with Abe. Well, it was on and then it was off. And then it was on again. It was kind of like magic.
Yeah. All right. Abe, we wanted to talk to you a couple minutes here at least about the situation. There's two judges that one in Massachusetts, one in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. that took it upon themselves to they had that. Well, tell us what happened in those cases.
Well, in both of those instances, you had seated state court judges who helped illegal aliens who were going to be detained for deportation. One, in the case in Boston, the individual had been twice previously deported, and the judge in Boston helped the illegal alien escape the courtroom. The same thing happened with the judge in Wisconsin. Albeit in Wisconsin, the illegal alien hadn't been deported twice. He just illegally re-entered one time after having previously been deported. In both of those instances, the sitting judges, I mean, this is hard to wrap your mind around, but the sitting judges helped the illegal aliens escape the ICE agents who were in the courtroom to detain them for deportation. In both of those instances, the Boston judge, I believe the instance occurred in 2018, and the Boston judge is now facing potential removal from the bench. And
yeah,
then you have the Wisconsin judge.
She was the Wisconsin judge is, again, a state judge. Again, yeah. Folks, you got to understand, especially the Wisconsin thing happened recently, like in the last few weeks.
Yes.
The Boston one happened a few years ago. But same thing. But what I found fascinating, maybe that's not the right word here, you have a judge in Wisconsin. Again, was this last week or the week before last?
She was arrested last week.
Okay.
She was arrested last week.
So you have and this fella here who the ICE is there to pick up, he's on trial for criminal acts of violence.
Yes, he's in court for a criminal offense in the U.S.
Yes, and so the judge, it sounds like something out of a Lifetime movie or something. She takes him to some escape door, you know, in the courtroom.
Yeah, through the jury room.
Yeah, too late. So he could, and see here, like, go, you know, I'm releasing you. I don't want you to be captured. Like, she's aiding and abetting criminal activity, and she's a judge.
Yes.
She's in trouble, though, right?
Yeah, she's in trouble. She was arrested, and so
the Wisconsin judge.
That's trouble.
Wisconsin judge was arrested herself and charged with what, as you described, her aiding and abetting in interrupting a legal process, which would be the deportation proceeding, facing her own federal criminal charges now in light of her efforts to help the illegal alien.
Okay,
escape
why did these two judges do this?
Yeah, were they family members? Were they good buddies?
No. The only thing that I can see. I mean, obviously, I'm not a mind reader or a heart reader, but the one thing you can see is that they were opposed to these two individuals being detained by ICE and deported. That's the only thing you can see. You are not exaggerating. It's literally the Wisconsin judge creates almost like a ruse with the defense attorney to come to the bench and to help him escape the ICE agents who are waiting in the lobby for him, and which is why she was arrested last week.
Will she be disbarred?
That is a potential thing. And one thing that's interesting in the Wisconsin case, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, on its own initiative, started proceedings to suspended her from the bench on their own. Nobody brought the issue up to them when they learned of the arrest. And this is what the liberal Supreme Court is in Wisconsin, a liberal majority. They suspended this Wisconsin judge from the bench pending her criminal trial, her criminal case proceeding on the federal charges for obstructing the ICE agents.
Okay. So the reason this is important to us, I think, it's a teaching moment, not that a lot of people didn't already know this. What these judges did here, this is the mind of the far left, okay, in this country. This is one of the main reasons Kamala Harris lost. Now, not all Democrats subscribe to this insanity, if you want, is the way I describe it. that is allowing not having borders and not having enforcement of your immigration laws. The far left, which is probably 50% of the Democrat Party today, they don't believe in borders. Borders are, to them, immoral. They don't believe in stopping anybody from coming into our country for any reason. And that's reason when they're caught, they don't want them deported, okay, when these people are caught. And these are criminals, okay? We're mm-hmm. talking about criminals here. We're not talking about, you know, just somebody who's here illegally, but they haven't done any illegal activity in our country. These are people who are – and the left says, no, let them stay. Don't deport them. That's really their that's really have I described the way these people think correctly?
Yeah, you have described it correctly, and it is it's worth underlining and highlighting the fact that the only reason why these illegal aliens were in the Boston court and the Wisconsin courtroom was because they were there for independent criminal charges that occurred in America, in addition to them entering our country illegally, both of whom had been previously deported from our country. In Boston, the illegal alien had been deported twice before, and in Wisconsin, the illegal alien had been previously deported one time.
Abe, just a quick question before we let you go. What is the interplay here between federal and state? Okay, so we've mm-hmm. talked about sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. They are not obligated to call federal authorities if they arrest someone in a traffic stop for a state violation. They are not obligated to cooperate with ICE, for example, and call them in mm-hmm. if they find out that the suspect is an illegal immigrant. But in this mm-hmm. case, you have a state agent, a judge, mm-hmm. I guess specifically talking about the Wisconsin case here, who I guess this is obstruction of justice on a federal level. So you're not forced to cooperate with the federal government and go out of your way, but you're not allowed to restrict their access to a criminal, right?
That's exactly right. So this has nothing to do with a sanctuary jurisdiction or not a sanctuary jurisdiction. In both of these cases, the federal agents were in the courtroom and the judges actively aided the illegal alien in evading detention by the ICE agents, thrusting themselves into the legal proceeding to thwart that legal proceeding or to obstruct that legal proceeding, which is in and of itself an additional federal crime. So this Wisconsin judge has been charged with a federal crime, regardless of her state sanctuary policy or the city sanctuary policy or not. And this is why, frankly, President Trump signed an executive order yesterday starting the process for defunding these sanctuary cities and jurisdictions. But these two instances are beyond the scope of sanctuary city or not sanctuary city. This is yeah. affirmative obstruction of federal law enforcement prerogatives, which is a separate crime.
Abe, what are you going to be talking about this afternoon on Hamilton Corner?
Well, this is something I'm definitely going to want to dig into a little bit more because the details are astounding. The judge in Boston, recognizing the criminality, voluntarily agreed to a process that could result in her removal from the bench as well. And so that is pending in Boston.
All right, Abe.
Let me mention this. I'm looking here. You also, too, if you may want to look into this one, I just found the New Mexico judge and his wife were arrested on charges for tampering with evidence linked to a suspect with a Mexican gang.
Yes, I talked about this case on the Hamilton Corner.
Okay.
This guy was actually arrested at the judge's house.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Wow.
The illegal alien was arrested at the New Mexico judge's house, and he is withdrawn from the bench
as a result of
that arrest.
Yeah. I'm for sending some of these judges down to El Salvador. Who's with me?
I'm with you.
Okay. We'll help them escape to El Salvador. How about that one?
Help them escape.
As long as there's due process.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
All right, Abe, have a good day. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you, guys.
Okay, that's Abraham Hamilton III.
Internet is back up.
At his house.
Yeah, at his house.
Yeah.
Did
you? All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
What'd you say?
I was going to say, did y'all know about this one from New Mexico?
Yeah, because that's the Tren de Aragua group. That's the gang from Venezuela.
Okay.
And they're bad dudes as well.
So that's a great idea.
The Venezuelan gang?
Yeah.
You really, if you're a judge and you were hiding one of these members out, you really just don't get your job back. This is pretty clean and obvious. I mean, I don't know what kind of trial process you need here. But
yeah, it sounds like something. You hear this story, and you go, surely that didn't happen.
Right.
Where in Wisconsin, this judge, she's like, come over here.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
you can go out this door.
I'll sneak you out.
I'll sneak you out and protect
and
you. From-
and what's I don't understand is that when you get caught up in the emotions of helping a friend or a family, you can sometimes do things you wouldn't otherwise do. But, like, where is the connection to the judge and this criminal for her to say, come over here? Like, are you just that convicted?
Some of these people, listen, liberalism is a mental disorder.
Yes.
And I'm not the one who came up with that. Somebody else did, Michael Savage or somebody. But, and though these people, she thinks she's on a righteous mission.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
To protect this poor man who's, by the way, in her courtroom for violent criminal activity.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. And the person he beat up is
sitting
in the courtroom.
Yeah. And she's like, go on. Here's $50. Yeah. God bless you. I don't know if she believes in God. Probably not. But you know what I'm saying?
Like, the one from Massachusetts.
Just like going, surely a judge would not facilitate.
Now we have three on the books for this. I wonder if we had anybody who funded their to get them on the to get them. You know what I mean?
Who funded what?
The three judges. Who was behind getting them elected? Are they? It's not an elected.
Oh, like George Soros? Money
probably depends from state to state. Hey, some of them are elected. And
if it's Madison or Milwaukee, they got.
It's a George.
It's
Soros funded.
Well,
but the thing is, you have Abe mentioned this in Wisconsin. You have the judicial oversight in that state going on its own initiative, going after her. And
yeah.
Same thing for the Massachusetts judge. She's been brought up before the judicial oversight group in that state. These actions are so egregious. You have, I'm guessing, left-leaning judicial oversight groups who are doing this on their own. They realize you cannot have.
Mm.
And in terms of the mentality, these judges strike me. Again, this is a little on the judgmental side. Okay, but I think I'm on pretty good ground here. The same kind of mentality that leads people to literally hug trees, chain themselves to trees so that lumberjacks or whoever does this, lumber companies, can't cut them down. You go, why? Well, this tree has feelings. Like you said, these people believe they're on a mission from whoever they believe in. And they do really ridiculous stuff. And this goes on the list.
Hmm. All right, next story, Fred.
Have you missed Kamala Harris?
You don't know, Fred.
Yeah.
I missed
word salads.
Yeah. She's back.
I wish we could hear her voice again, though.
We
can.
We can?
She's got a big speech tonight in San Francisco.
Okay.
Fantastic.
But it's going to be really late tonight. We'll all probably be in bed. So I thought it would be good to remind you to play some special moments of Kamala Harris speaking in the past.
Which could have been. This is what we could have heard every single day.
Yes.
You got her greatest hits?
Greatest hits. Cut 14.
You need to get to go. I need to be able to get where you need to go.
The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Culture is... It is a reflection of our moment and our time. Present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
See what can be, unburdened by what has been.
At least she gave us a good laugh.
That's.
What does that mean? What was she trying to say there? What was the last one?
Don't look at me.
No, look.
You asking me to get in the mind of Kamala Harris?
Burdened by the things that haven't been.
Do you want to hear it again, Tim?
It sounds like he was inspired.
It was almost poetry.
It was not poetry.
Listen to this. This is just, huh?
This is poetry. It's like Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I needed this.
You need to get to go.
Yeah.
I need to be able to get where you need to go.
The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Culture is... It is a reflection of our moment and our time. Present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
See what can be, unburdened by what has been.
Well, I got to say, bless her heart, as we say down south. I, I, uh, you could probably cherry pick me for a couple of weeks, make me sound like an idiot too. But she just had a penchant for saying things almost every speech where you scratch your head going, what did she say right there? What does she mean?
And speeches were one thing, but when she was talking off the cuff, it was even worse.
Well, you know, 60 Minutes is in trouble. The CBS and 60 Minutes, because there's a lawsuit filed by Trump.
How much is it for? It's got a B for billion after it, he's suing them for.
Well, what he's suing them for is he said they doctored her interview prior to the election. Because she did such a terrible job, they doctored the interview CBS did to make her appear more rational and sane.
And to influence the election.
Yes, and he's right about that. If that's what I hadn't seen it. I think they're guilty, though, from what I've read.
Because have they not released the original? They released the original.
Yeah, I didn't watch it all.
I said they released the original one prior to the edits.
Well,
out there, I've seen them.
That's in line with the media. Remember, now they're saying they're revealing now that all of them knew about the mental decline of Biden,
right?
But tried to protect the story or hide the story because they didn't want to help Trump.
And now you hear
same thing here.
Now you hear individual reporters. We had one, I think, might have played one yesterday or sometime this week. Individual reporters who are now acting as if they were concerned about media complicity all along when hardly anybody said anything unless you were a conservative.
Almost everybody's on a team now. You're either team right or team left in this country.
Yeah.
You're on that team. You do all you can to protect your guy or your lady.
Yeah. No, that's true. There's very little bipartisanship.
She's a woman. What now?
Sorry,
I missed that.
It was stellar. Observation, and you missed it. That moment's gone forever.
I'll try to rewind the show and see what I missed there. Bless your heart, Ed.
Oh, bless me.
Okay, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.